Well, as we continue our series on the church, the body of Jesus Christ, we would like you to turn in your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 3, and we will begin our reading at verse 13. Ephesians 3, verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul is, of course, writing to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was a Gentile church and probably was one of the most spiritual churches that the Apostle Paul wrote to. And so here we have probably the pinnacle of body truth given to the church at Ephesus. In verse 13 he writes, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." This morning, as we move on in our series on the body of Christ, we are going to be entering into the area of how to release God's power in the body. How does that filter down to us as members of the body of Christ, that we can experience the power of God in our lives and that it can be manifested in our lives? The Christian experience is a matter of applying God's power to the needs of everyday living. But I have found many times that Christians become very frustrated because they do not know how to activate God's power in their Christian experience. And there are certain essential things that we must do before this power can be released effectively in our lives. Now, it is there already at our disposal the moment you are saved. But we must know how to activate it, that it can indeed be manifested in our lives. You know, I have a car that I drove here in out back, and it has a lot of power under the hood. There's a lot of horsepower there. But you know, I can go out and I can sit in that car and it will do me absolutely no good until I do what? Until I turn the ignition on, correct? And so we must put the key in the ignition and we must turn it before we activate that horsepower, that we can have movement or power behind it to take us from one place to another. And you know, brethren, it's very much the same way in the Christian life. I think most Christians realize that the strength of the Lord and also the power that is at our disposal is very clearly spoken of in the Word of God. But I have oftentimes wondered how many Christians really know what the key is to that power, to unleash it in our lives, that we can be a more effective testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we will be discussing this matter this morning in our study. Now, as we look at releasing this power, we're going to be looking at it in three areas. First of all, the inner strength in the inner man that we are to have. Secondly, Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And thirdly, releasing the power that is at our disposal. Now, when we talk about the power of God in this dispensation, we are not referring to the ability to perform miraculous feats or wonders, such as raising the dead or speaking in tongue or exorcising demons. These powers and miraculous gifts were given to the saints of old. But as the dispensation of grace has progressed on, the ministry of the Holy Spirit greatly differs today. We are not to seek the so-called spiritual sign gifts of the Spirit of God today, that they be manifested in our lives. But instead, since we are living under the grace of God, we are to realize that the administration of God has changed, and also the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit has changed today. Now, it's the same Spirit of God, but we must realize that His ministry on behalf of believers today is greatly different than what it was in time past. And so this morning, as we go to the Scriptures, when we are referring to the power of God and it being released in our lives, we want you to keep firmly set in your mind that we are not speaking of the miraculous sign gifts, but instead we are referring to the power whereby we are able to live the Christian life victoriously, that we can overcome the physical and emotional problems that tear at us, that we can have the strength to endure affliction and criticism of others as we stand for the truth of God uncompromisingly. How is it that some believers seem to endure so well that it seems that no matter what comes their way, that they are not shaken, but their foundation is sure and steadfast, and they are rooted and grounded in love, and even though the storms of life have come their way, they are not shaken by it? How come it is that there are so many believers in Christ that are able to endure, but so many of us seem to falter and have such difficulty? Well, it's because some believers have learned the great message that is given here in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, here I call your attention to verse 16, because here is one of the first ways we begin to experience the power of God in our lives. Notice in verse 16 that Paul writes to the Ephesians that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, notice that Paul refers to being strengthened with might. Now, the idea of the word strengthened there is the Greek idea of having strength and being extremely strong. Also, as we look at the word might that follows it, that's the word dynamos. We get our word dynamite from it. It has the idea of power associated with it. So here in this phrase that Paul gives to us, it was his desire that the believers at Ephesus, and it's our desire that you be strong in the power that the Lord will give you in the inner man. Now, how is it that we become strengthened or strong in the Lord? How is it that we utilize this power? Well, here's one of the first means, that we be strengthened with might, now notice, by His Spirit in the inner man. So one of the first ways that we begin to experientially use this power is that we must be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. Now that takes us to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Here Paul states, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So the admonition is that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. How is the believer filled with the Spirit of God? Now, this is a question that has been commonly asked, and some have concluded, does that mean we just get measures of the Spirit, that we have a little bit of the Spirit, but then if we're faithful, we get more of the Holy Spirit of God? No, that is not what is meant at all. The day you are saved, you are immediately indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. He literally takes up His residence in your life. Now, when we are told here to be filled with the Spirit of God, it is not the idea of us having more of the Holy Spirit, but the idea is the Holy Spirit having more of us. In other words, a willing and yielding vessel that the Spirit of God can begin to work through. So remember that. The idea is not having more of a portion of the Holy Spirit. No, you have the complete Spirit in your heart by faith. He is there and actively pursuing a ministry through you. But that can be hindered, and that can be grieved if you harbor sin in your life, if you permit sin to have a foothold in your life. Also, that can be hindered if you are not open to the Spirit of God, but instead you are filled with selfish motives. And so here, when Paul instructs us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to be yielding ourselves to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, that He can work in and through us to God's honor and glory. Now, how is it that we begin to turn our lives more and more over to the Holy Spirit, that He can exercise His teaching in our life and the power can be manifested through us? Well, we must do that through constructive Bible study, not just simply opening and reading the Bible devotionally. You will learn very, very little by simply reading the Bible devotionally or simply having devotions. Now, there's nothing wrong with devotions. I think we should have a time of devotions in the morning or in the evening as time allows. But what I'm referring to is down home Bible study, as we call it, where we open the Word of God on a certain subject, we have certain study aids or a tape to assist us, and we constructively study the Word of God, that we learn the doctrines of the Bible, doctrines such as justification, sanctification, and glorification. Do you understand the significance of each of those doctrines? Why, those are things that the Lord has performed on our behalf. We should understand them, and as we understand them, we're going to begin to rejoice in them, and we're going to be far more effective in our Christian witness. And we'll begin, as we study the Word of God, more and more to begin to live more and more of a victorious life in Christ. Also, we must pray. You know, I don't think we pray as we ought to pray, as they did in days of old. Why, sometimes great men of God would be on their knees for an entire afternoon praying for a service that they were going to attend, that the message that they would bring would be used effectively of God, and that lost souls might be saved, and those who would save would be rejoicing in the Lord after the message. They prayed that they would decrease, and that the Word of God would increase, and that it would be the Lord who would be the preeminent one. I wonder if we pray like that today. How many of you pray for our services before you come here? I'm not talking about a 2-second prayer. I'm talking about possibly a half hour or an hour on your knees praying to the Lord that this weekend the services would be especially effective. You see, this is what we're referring to about one who is growing spiritually and having power in their life. They're going to have power in their prayers, and they're going to have results that are going to be seen from their prayer life. So, as we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, how can the Spirit of God take over more and more of your life? As you yield in your study of God's Word, as you bow your knees in prayer before Him, and also as you fellowship with others. Now, that takes us back to Ephesians chapter 3. So, in verse 16, Paul says we should be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So, that inner man is that new nature you've received at salvation, the time you were regenerated. The Spirit of God indwells that new man, and He desires to do a marvelous work within you. But you have to be a willing receptacle. You have to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you have to devote your time and efforts in learning the Scriptures. Then the Holy Spirit will have free course to work through you. Then in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love, now notice, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, the next step in having the key that unlocks the power is realizing that Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Now, you will notice in verse 17, the word dwell, that Christ literally dwells in your heart by faith. That word dwell has the idea to settle down as being at home, to be comfortable, and to be relaxed. So, as we are converted to Christ, we must understand that Christ literally comes into our heart and He settles down, and we ask you the question, is He comfortable in your life? Because the Lord has taken up His residence in your heart. Now, have you ever gone to another town or another city, and maybe you're visiting a friend or a loved one, and they invite you to come, and you go, and you spend time in their home, but you don't feel comfortable. There's kind of a cold atmosphere, and they just have not welcomed you like you thought that they would. Have you ever had that experience? I'm sure just about all of us in this room have had it at some time or another in our lives. And you know, it is much the same way as the Lord lives in our hearts. It is true that He is there, but does He feel welcome? Does He feel accommodated? Does He feel at home that He can settle down there? Well, as the Lord comes into our lives, naturally, as a guest would come among us, what's the first thing we want to do with them? We want to show them around, don't we? And so the Lord begins to make his way around in different areas of our lives. Now, you need to kind of picture this in your mind, and you need to see the illustration is applying personally to each and every one of us. Now, what if the Lord was to visit the upstairs, the brain, the mind? That's the library, let's say, in the home. And as we go upstairs to the library, what do we expect to find in the library? Well, books that there is information and knowledge stored in. But what would the Lord find in our minds? What do we think about? What do we dwell upon? Probably most of us would be terribly ashamed, wouldn't we? Why, we need to clean out the library. And what we need to have stored there is not evil thoughts and bitterness and resentment between ourselves and among the brethren, but instead stored in the library of our minds in the upstairs should be the Word of God. Let's take the library of God's Word, these 66 books, and let's store that up there. Let's begin to store His Word within our hearts, that we can walk well-pleasing unto Him. And so when the Lord visits the upstairs and the library of our mind, instead of finding resentment and evil and wickedness and evil thoughts there, He will find truth and righteousness that we have stored in our information center. Now next, He comes down and He visits the dining room. Now, this is probably an area we all have problems with as well. When we think of the dining room, we think of what? Appetite and desire. What are our appetites and our desires if the Lord were to inquire of us? If He were to inquire, what is the desire of your life? Probably most of us would respond like Israel, leeks and garlic and onions. Why, all of the worldly pleasures. Why, these are the things that we covet. These are the things that we want and that we desire in our lives. But the Lord turns to us in a form of rebuke, as He should, and He rebukes us that we should not mind earthly things, that we should not desire earthly pleasures, but instead we should desire the will of our Heavenly Father. Because, you see, this is the only thing that is going to satisfy us. Next, as we move on, the Lord comes into the living room of our lives. Now, when we think of the living room, what do we think? Of an area of rest, a place where we gather as a family, whether it's the living room or the game room. We gather there as the family, and there we have fellowship, and we have conversation with one another, and we share with one another. But here again, I'm sure the Lord is displeased in this room of our life, because as He comes into this area, how many times we find ourselves passing through the living room without stopping to have any conversation in prayer with Him. And the Lord must remind us at times in preaching services such as this, that if He is a guest in our lives, then it's very impolite not to speak to Him. Why, when we have guests into our home, what do we do? We try to accommodate them. We try to talk to them. And if the wife has to be out in the kitchen preparing the meal, we always make sure that some member of the family is in the other room with the guest, because it's very rude to leave them alone there. And so we have the husband or one of the children stay with them and carry on the conversation. And you know, it is very much the same way with the Lord. It's very disrespectful to ignore our Lord in conversation. In prayer, we should be in prayer daily. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be on your knees 10 and 12 hours a day. Why, we can pray in all walks of life. Why, I have prayer going from this hospital to the next hospital, and pray about the services, and pray for you, dear brethren, and pray for the messages that God will bring, the message that is just needed this weekend. And so we should fill our lives with prayer, and as we do that in the living room of our lives, then we are carrying on a conversation with our Lord. Remember, one of the reasons that God created man was for fellowship. Now, that's not the primary reason, but that is one of the reasons that God created man is to fellowship, that we might be able to commune with him, and of course, that he might be able to commune with us through his word today. Now, next, that takes us over into the workshop. Now, the workshop, of course, is the area where we have our toys. You know, someone said a while back, the only difference between a young boy's toys and an older man's toys is that the older man's toys are more expensive. And there's somewhat of truth of that. I don't think we really grow up as kids sometimes in those areas. We still enjoy our hobbies. We enjoy certain crafts. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as not a great deal of time is devoted on that and the scriptures are neglected. And so I think we should have areas of diversion at times. But the problem is, with believers, oftentimes we go to extreme with the pleasures in our lives, and we devote all of our time and all of our money on those things, and we neglect our attendance in the services, and we neglect our Lord's giving in his work. And then not only does our spiritual lives begin to be affected, but the Lord's work then is neglected, and it's affected as well. And so as the Lord walks into the workshop area of our lives, and the things we do and the skills we have, he sees all the things that we have done with our hands for ourselves, but he finds very little that we have accomplished for him. And so we are to take the gifts and the skills that God has given to us, and we are to use them to his honor. Now, finally, that brings us to the area of the hall closet. Now, I don't know, probably if your hall closet's like our hall closet in the home, you, Lord, don't look in there, please. You take your life in your hands to open that. You know, that's the place where all the antiques have been put and things that we didn't know what to do with, we've put them there. Those are where the things are that we don't want other people to see sometimes. And so you open the closet door, and as I said, you take your life in your hands to do it. But those are the hidden things and the secret things many times within our home that we don't want others to see. We don't want them to see the mess. That's why we put it in there and close the door. But you know, not only does the Lord want to have free entrance into the library and into the dining area and the living area and the workshop, but he even wants to be in those types of areas of our lives where our sins can be confessed, and we can clean house, so to speak. So here then, as we look at verse 17, we are to allow Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith. And as we do that, we are allowing Christ to be at home in our lives, and he will feel comfortable, and he can carry out his ministry far, far more effective as we are yielding to him. Now that brings us down to verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So now that we have seen the role of the Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ is dwelling in our faith, we have established to have the key to the power in our lives, we must first have a good knowledge of the scriptures. We must be praying without ceasing. We must be consistently fellowshipping with other believers. Then we have a willing vessel, the Spirit of God, can manifest His power through. Also, we must have, as we have said, the Lord Jesus Christ being at home in our lives where He feels comfortable. And that means house cleaning, getting rid of those things in our lives, such as sin that is harbored, disciplining ourselves in other areas of our life, and as we do that, this begins to open us more and more for the power of God to be manifested through us. Now, as this power begins to be released through us, then suddenly we become trophies of His grace. We are instruments that God can use more extensively. You know, the Lord cannot use you until you first have a good, clear knowledge of the Scriptures. He cannot use you until you've been tested and approved by Him. He's not going to give you the important positions and the positions of great responsibility until you have first been tested and tried in the small things. Once you've accomplished them and have shown to Him you are faithful in them, and that you have applied these things we've mentioned this morning, then He is going to take you on to more and more responsibility. Now, as that begins to happen, then the releasing of this power in your life is more evident. Suddenly, the one who has a beautiful voice, who, I just cannot stand before others and sing, suddenly as they've applied these things that I've said unto you this morning, suddenly they're able to stand up and sing unto the Lord. Those who were ashamed of the testimony of Christ and ashamed to talk to others of Christ suddenly now are emboldened why they see the necessity from having studied the Word of God that we must open our mouth boldly to make known the Scriptures. And also those who believe God could not accomplish all things suddenly begin to understand verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think." Why, even as we look at this proposed new building, you know, the more we've gotten into it, this is a staggering thing when you first look at the thing. But you know, the Lord is able to do over and abundantly of that which we expect. And as we have bigger accommodations, we accommodate more people. You know, sometimes we want to sit back in the safety of our surroundings and let's not step forward, and we're fearful. But if we understand passages such as this, it helps us to step into things with knowledge and know that God is going to take care of us as long as we do things according to knowledge and we follow up on our human responsibility. And so here then, the Lord shows to us how we can perform these things to His honor. Now, someone may be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, what's the difference? Why bother me with all this? I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. That's all that really counts, isn't it? Well, let me say this unto you. God not only wants the glory when you get to heaven, but He wants the glory in the church right now. He wants your life to be a trophy of grace, one that has been refined that He can use. And how thrilled we are when we come in contact with those who have really accomplished what we have spoken to you this morning. Why, there was a blessing to be around. And we want your life to be a blessing, not only to your family and your friends, but to the Lord as well. May He be well-pleasing with each of us as members of the body of Christ. So we're members of His body. We've seen how we've become members, the gifts that we have, and also there is power that is at our disposal, but we must take those keys, one of the Spirit, one of the indwelling Christ, and the other to allow it to be released in our lives, and it will come forth, and it will be to the praise of His glory.